chapter 6, John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is one of those passages of Scripture. I believe it's the longest chapter in the book of John. And boy, it's just filled with so much there. There's the account of him feeding the 5,000. I've often thought how wonderful it would have been to have been there and to have got in on that deal, all right? A fish dinner. Fish dinner with all the trimmings that you needed, and it's all you could eat. I've always liked it when it was all you could eat, you know? And everybody was filled, and there was food left over. And then in the same chapter, there's the account of our Lord Jesus Christ walking on the water. And boy, what an exciting time that would have been. Scared the fire out of the disciples, you know. But I can understand that. If I was riding in a boat at night and saw somebody walking on the water, it would scare me too. So I understand that. But that's not what I want to preach to you this morning. Instead, I want to invite your attention to verse 35, if you would. Well, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." What a tremendous promise. "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Drop down, if you will, to verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." In the sixth chapter of John, Jesus Christ emphasized the fact that he was the bread of life. We find it twice repeated in the verses that we've read. If the Lord says something once, it ought to be enough. But if he says it twice, we really ought to pay attention, all right? We ought to pay attention. Now, remember who he's talking to, all right? And remember this, he wasn't just any old bread, but that bread of life that was sent down from heaven. Now, that's important because you need to remember who he was speaking to. He was speaking to Hebrew people. These were folks that understood bread sent down from heaven. Hey, it was their forefathers who had survived in the wilderness on the bread that was sent down from heaven. You see, that's exactly what manna was. And that's what he's saying to them, all right? Your fathers, in verse 49, did eat manna in the wilderness. But he said, they're dead. But then he says, if you'll eat the bread of life, you don't have to worry about dying, all right? You don't have to worry about it. Now, the message is very plain, very simple, but they missed it. That crowd he was speaking to missed it. And the truth of the matter is, so many in this world today have missed it too. Without that heaven-sent manna, Israel would have perished in the wilderness. It was a result they complained, and God said, I'll feed you. And he did. He fed them for 40 years, all right? In a barren land, he provided manna for them. Well, in that same way, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living bread, all right, the living bread from heaven, without that bread, sinners will die without hope and without God. So would you look with me just for a few minutes this morning at the bread of life? Just three things I want to talk to you about, okay? Number one, bread is a staple. Bread is a staple. We often hear the term the staff of life. And we're talking about bread, and it's applied to bread. It is considered a staple, all right? Most every restaurant is going to serve you bread in some form. Going to serve you bread in some form. Now, it may be rolls. It could be biscuits. It could be muffins. It could be plain old light bread that they've just run through the toaster, all right? But bread is served to diners, even in the Mexican restaurant, okay? We get that tortillas, or we get chips. That's bread that's been fried, okay, and cut into little pieces. And some places are even very famous for their bread. You hear about these places, a place up maybe Missouri, where they throw the rolls. You ever heard of that? Yeah, people, you know, they throw rolls, and you have to catch them and all that kind of business, and they brag about it. And my wife and I were going to eat there one time, our family on vacation. We drove up. We found out how long the line was. We said, we don't want a roll thrown at us, so we have to wait that long. So we went on, ate somewhere else. But, hey, bread's just part of it. Now, the good thing about bread, it's not like a lot of food. All food is not within the means of all people. It's just not. I mean, some food can only be obtained by those who are wealthy. I've never eaten caviar. Well, I've eaten the southern version of it. All right. I have had the roe out of fish before, but that's not, I don't think it qualifies as caviar. You know, I can't afford that kind of stuff. And not sure I would spend my money on that if I could. But there's some things out of the price range. I've heard about this special beef. I think it's out of Japan. I can't remember the name of it. And it's exceedingly expensive. Well, just fix me a hamburger steak, all right? There's some food that's just not within the means of everybody. Other food is rare. It's just rare. Can only be obtained in certain very privileged countries. If you're not there, you can't get it. But bread, you can find it everywhere. Everywhere. The Ford can afford it, and the rich want it. It's just amazing. Now, it may be a different kind of bread. Some places it's black bread, you know. But it's bread, and it's just there. It's available out there, and it's a staple, you know. The good thing about bread alone is able to sustain life. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew that when he told those folks, I am the bread of life, all right? He was saying to them, I am the staple that you need. I am completely and totally necessary for you to live. Without him, I just want to tell you, there is no life, okay? The Bible describes us without Christ as dead in trespasses and sin. But if we'll partake of the bread of life, oh, we can live forever. We can live forever. But it's there, all right? It is there. It's a staple. It's necessary. You have to do it. Hey, by the way, it's necessary for the abundant life. John 10:10, Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life. Boy, that excites me, but I like the rest of that verse where he said, and that you might have it more abundantly. Not just a little bit, but get it all right? And enjoy it abundantly. Hey, bread is a staple, all right? Bread is a staple. Second thing I want you to think about with me is bread is a little bit different than all other food. Bread has to be supplied. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I mean this. It's unique. Vegetables, there they are. You grow them on a plant. A lot of vegetables, you just go pick them. If you want to, you can eat them raw. You can eat them raw, all right? But all you have to do, I mean, there they are. They're it. Vegetables, fruit. Just go out to the tree, pick it, eat it. Good thing. Good thing, man. I like having fruit trees in the yard. I like it being, I used to go to my uncle's up in Oklahoma, and he had apple trees there, and the right time of year, you go out there, pull an apple off the tree and eat it. Man, it's good. We lived down in Florida. We went out with a fellow by the name of Brother Connell. He worked for fruit companies down there, and he took us out. We drove his car out through the grove, out through the orange groves. He'd pull up to an orange tree, and he'd reach out the window. We didn't even open the door, all right? Stroll down the window. He'd reach out the window and pull in an orange, and he'd cut it open and hand it over to my dad. He said, try that, see if you like it. He'd take us around on the other side of the same tree, and he said, try that. He said, notice it's sweeter on this side of the tree. Orange would be sweeter on that side of the tree. And he said, you like that? Okay, we'll pick some of these. I'm going to tell you, when we came back, we had bushels of oranges, tangerines, not them little stumpy things, big old tangerines like that, man. Big old sweet, man, juicy as they could be. Ruined me, absolutely ruined me, of being able to go to the store here and buy an orange. I mean, you bite into it and you go, what happened? It's not the same, you know. Toad just ruined me. The only oranges I can get here is the ones that come out of the valley. And boy, if you find them there, they're sweet and juicy. But hey, just there they are. Just pick them, you eat them, all right? They even meat, all right? And you say, well, preacher, you have to cook it. Okay, well, some people eat it raw. I think you ought to have your head examined. But anyway, we won't go there, you sushi lovers. But, man, you know, just you go after it. You can get it, and it's there. But bread's not that way. Bread's not that way. Bread has to be supplied. You've got to go out, and somebody's got to find the corn or the wheat. And then you got to grind it. You got to make that flour. You have to have some water, maybe some other ingredients in there, and you get that dough made, and they need it, and then you bake the bread, all right? Hey, but you don't just go and say, there's bread. You say, well, preacher, I do. I go to Walmart. I know, but somebody had to make it, you read? All right? I mean, it's not just supplied. There's not a bread tree, okay? There's not a bread plant, all right? There's not any animal called bread that runs through the forest, and you can shoot it and skin it and eat it, all right? It's got to be supplied. It's different, all right? Hey, that's exactly the way that was for the Israelites there in the wilderness, all right? The manna had to be supplied to them, all right? And unless it had been supplied, they didn't get it. It didn't come accidentally. God sent it every day. Every day. You read over there in Exodus chapter 16 of how they had come out every morning and there it be. It was there, all right? I mean, God supplied it, but it had to be supplied. Had to be supplied. Hey, the bread of life, that living bread, had to be supplied. And God sent His Son. God sent His Son. God Himself provided that living bread for us. Because you see, no man could produce it. No man could produce it. By the way, there is no merchant who can bring it and sell it. Can't do it. Can't do it, all right? Just can't do it. Those Israelites were starving in the wilderness until God supplied the bread. Tell you today, it's a starving sinner. Starving sinner. But God supplied the bread for him. God provided the bread of life. God sent that bread. And what that starving sinner needs is never going to be found in this old world apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Just never going to be found, all right? Now, the good thing about it, it's free. It's free. I'd go to the bread store, the day old bread store, you know what I'm talking about? I'd go over there and not usually because I was looking for bread, I was looking for things that weren't good for me. Man, those Hostess fried pies, they like me. And I like them. And I'd go looking for a deal on those kind of things, you know, and sometime I remember buying, and I was there one day, and I bought some maybe buns, stuff like that. And they said, hey, you bought enough, you can get a free loaf of bread. Normally, bread's not free, right? But you hear me, the bread of life can't be purchased. It can't be purchased. You can't buy it. I told you there's no merchant. I believe today there's people trying to make merchandise of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you mark it down, you can't buy it, okay? There is no price you could give because it was supplied by God the Father himself. But now hear me this morning. Bread, that bread of life, okay, it's unique. It's unique. And it has to be supplied. But now hear me. It must be selected. It must be selected. God told the Israelites, you go out in the morning and it'll be there. It'll be there. But he didn't put it in their tent. They had to go after it. They had to get out and select it for themselves. What God did is made it available. He made it available. Each family had to go out and retrieve it. And he told them, now you'd go out every day. It never forced its way into any home or tent in that wilderness. Never happened. Hey, bread today still has to be selected. I am a notorious tightwad. I go to a cafeteria. I've never bought a roll at a cafeteria. Never. You say, why? Because I don't normally eat bread, do you? I mean, y'all have bread at your... Now, a few people do. Some people have bread at every meal. I don't know. We never did. We had bread at breakfast. It was called a biscuit. We'd eat it there. That was all right. But, man, as far as just putting bread on the table or rolls, you know, or bacon rolls, we didn't do it. Mom never did that. My wife really doesn't do that. And just never did. So I'd go to a restaurant, I'd go to a cafeteria, and I'm looking at, you know, all the good stuff. And you want me to pay how much for that roll? Forget it, I can live without it. But on the other hand, you go to a restaurant, and they bring them out. You know what I'm talking about? Here they are, bring out rolls. Up at Cotton Patch, go up there and eat. That's the first thing they do. There's two people, they bring out two rolls. Bring out two rolls. Now, on this diet I've been on, I can't eat a roll, so I've always told them, I don't need a roll, just bring one. Don't bring it. But have you ever been at a table and they brought out the rolls and watched and people sat down, they ate the whole meal, and nobody touched the roll? You know what I'm talking about? Now, they were available, were they not? But they had to be selected. They had to be selected. I witnessed to people. And when I witness to people, I get to the point in the witnessing to them, I say, now listen, the Lord offers you a gift of salvation. And I get a quarter out of my pocket, and I hold it out. And I say, now whose is that? And if a lot of times they think it's a trick question, so they're afraid to answer. And I said, now whose is it? As long as it's in my hand, I've said you can have it, and I've said it's a free gift, you can have it. I said, but as long as it's in my hand, whose is it? And they'll finally say, well, it's yours. I say, that's right, it's mine. But it is available to you. It's available to you. I have said, here it is. It is a gift, and I'm giving it to you. Would you take it from me? And if I can get them to reach out and take it, and then I'll ask them, now whose is it? They'll say, well, it's mine. I said, that's right, because I gave it to you. And you had to take it. Hey, the bread of life is like that. It's been made available. It's been made available. God sent his son, and he wrote the Bible. So here we are 2,000 years later. We can read about it. He's called people to preach. He's called prophets. And prophets foretold all of it, and he's called people to preach the truth since then. And preachers have stood. We've got on television, we got on radio, and preached the gospel, tried to get it around the world. And we go out. We got people in our church that are going out and trying to hang on the doorknob of everybody the gospel, and it's presented. It's available, but it's still got to be selected. People have to choose him. The Lord Jesus Christ shall forever be the bread of life. But that bread of life won't do anybody any good if it's not selected and partaken of. Won't help you. Now it could, but it won't, because you just don't partake of it, all right? He's been provided. He's available to all. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter where you go. These folks here going to Nicaragua's missionaries, hey, it's just as easily available in Nicaragua as it is right here. You can't find a place in the world where the Lord doesn't allow and present himself. Here I am. I'm the bread of life. You can take me. A missionary will never be called somewhere where the Lord said, nope, bread's not available there. It's available everywhere. All you have to do is choose him, because he's already chosen you. He's already chosen you. Oh, listen, my friend. That's the bread of life. Have you partaken of him? Have you taken that gift of God? Have you trusted him? Have you called upon him by faith? Have you partaken of that bread of life? Now, you may be sitting here as a Christian saying, boy, I can rejoice in the message because it's good and it's true and it's biblical and it puts no pressure on me. But I'm not through yet. But I'll be honest with you, we're going to get out early today. I'm going to be through pretty quick. But I want to say this to you, all right? Bread's good on a daily basis. On a daily basis. I told you I'm not a big bread eater. I've been on a diet. My diet's going to be over in about 5 weeks, about that. I've told my wife, said I can hardly wait for a biscuit. I'm just looking forward to a homemade biscuit. I've been over to Red Lobster. You know them cheese biscuit things they come out with. I was there a few weeks ago on a diet. They bring out a cheese biscuit. My eyes looked at them. My tongue licked toward it. My body craved it. But I didn't partake. But I'm looking forward to a biscuit, okay? I'll be honest with you, I could eat biscuits every morning. Especially put a little gravy out there with it, all right? But I want to say this to you. Bread's good on a daily basis. But here's the problem, Christian. Too many people have trusted Christ, yet they live as if they no longer need to partake of that bread that has been sent down from heaven. We live like I had it once, and that was suffice. Well, now, it did suffice to get you to heaven. It did. No problem there. But I'm going to be honest with you. I do not remember the first biscuit I ever ate. But I know this. I got a taste for it. That first time. You know, I'm glad. You know, this stuff, people say, well, you have to acquire a taste. I got to work to acquire a taste. I'd rather just eat something I already like rather than enduring something I don't like, developing a taste for something I might like, you know. Just leave me eating what I like, you know. And I acquired a taste for biscuits as a kid. And I'll be honest, I was a kid in Georgia. In Georgia, we grew up on cane syrup. And, man, you take a hot homemade biscuit, butter that rascal up real good, and pour that syrup out in your plate and sop that stuff. Son, that's living, let me just tell you, all right? And I acquired a taste for that a long time ago. I did not eat it once and say, I want any more. Never want any more. No, I ate it the first time. That's good stuff. I remember eating that chocolate cake. You know, and the layered kind. My grandmother made one about 6-7 layers, and the layers were about as thick as your finger, maybe. And between every layer, there was another layer of chocolate, all right? And as a kid, man, grandkids, we grew up, we'd go to grandma's house, and she'd always have that chocolate cake. I mean, it was just always there. And I don't remember thinking, no, grandma, I had that once, and it was really good, but I don't want any more. No, I wanted some more. Have you got the message? Hey, there was a day nearly 60 years ago where I bowed on my knees and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I partook of that bread of life. I did what the Scripture said in Psalm, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. But I got a little taste then. But I wasn't satisfied. I wanted to go back again and again and again. I want to keep coming back to Him. Hey, I still struggle in life and I need a little help. I need a little help. And I come to Him and I find it. I want to tell you something. I believe with all my heart that's why we live in a day when so many Christians are weak, totally without spiritual strength. They struggle through life. They get beat up by life, all right? Why? Because they need to come back and taste and find out He's still good. He still has what you and I need. He's able to strengthen us. He's able to sustain us. He's able to supply all you need for this life. Why in the world do you try to live without Him? Why in the world would you think, I can get along okay? Well, you don't seem to be. You don't seem to be. Oh, listen, that's why the Lord gave us the church. He knew we needed to come. He knew we needed to be fed by the word of life. He knew it. And yet so many today tell me, well, I don't believe you got to go to church to be saved. Yeah, but look what you're missing. Hey, look, what are you missing today? He's the bread of life. Are you trying to get along without it? Trying to get along without that bread? There's no life apart from Him. With Him we live. Without Him we die. And I'll tell you this, even as a child of God, you try to live in this old world without Him, you're going to find you shrivel up too. Oh, you may not be dead physically, a man, you're suffering. Why don't you taste and see that the Lord is good? Christian, you're saved. You partook of Him. You're on your way to heaven. You got eternal life. But how's this life going? How's this life going? You're trying to live it without Him? Trying to live it on your own terms? Trying to live it your own way? Do your own thing? What a dreadful mistake. He's the bread of life. I don't tell you, He's still got what you need. Those Israelites went out every day, picked up that manna and took it in and partook of it. Oh God, help us to every day come to Him and partake of the living bread. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning because we sure need You today. We've spent many days trying to get by without You, and what a mess it's been. Oh Lord, maybe there's some folks here really struggling because they've decided they don't really need You that much. Lord, I'm reminded of that songwriter that said, I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Lord, we need You. Help us to come. Lord, if there's one here today who's never trusted Christ as their Savior, would You give them the courage to step out and walk the aisle today and call upon You? Lord, meet me here at the front and just say, preacher, I want to trust Christ. And Lord, if there's Christians today that are not living with Him and living by Him and trying to live without Him, would You help them? Help them see their need. Help them to come to you today. In Jesus' name I pray.